From Washington, this is VOA News. I'm Victor Beatty reporting. Airline blames external factors for the crash of that passenger jet. Russian transportation officials are analyzing data from the flight recorders recovered from the ill-fated Metrojet A321, which crashed shortly after takeoff Saturday from Sharm el-Sheikh, Egypt, en route to St. Petersburg, Russia. All 224 people on board were killed. AirSafe's Todd Curtis says answers to the mysterious crash should be forthcoming within days.
It's unclear whether or not there's useful data on there yet, but I'm sure within a few days, at least that amount of information will be presented to the public. There is quite a bit of information from the wreckage itself that has yet to be analyzed in any great detail, either by the Egyptian authorities, the Airbus authorities, or the Russian authorities. So I believe that there is ample technological prowess being brought to bear in this particular situation.
The airline Monday cited external reasons for the crash after ruling out technical failure or human error, but the Russian Air Ministry called the assertion premature. Both Cairo and Moscow have played down claims from Egypt's Islamic State branch it downed the plane. Sectarian violence broke out again in the capital of Central African Republic weeks before a planned visit by Pope Francis. Armed assailants reportedly killed several people and set scores of homes ablaze in Bangui, the violence centering around the PK5, mostly Muslim neighborhood. Bangui resident Melanie Anjokra says no one provides answers as to why people continue to die and for what cause. Interim President Catherine Zambapanza called for intervention by UN peacekeepers. The Vatican Monday indicated the Pope's trip to the country, wracked by 2 years of sectarian violence, is still on for November 28 and 29. This is VOA News. President Obama, during a televised interview Monday, said the U.S., by sending dozens of special forces troops into Syria, does not represent another U.S. intervention in the Middle East.
We have run special ops already, and really this is just an extension of what we're continuing to do. We are not putting U.S. troops on the front lines fighting firefights with ISIL. But I've been consistent throughout that we are not going to be fighting like we did in Iraq with battalions and occupations. That doesn't solve the problem.
Mr. Obama appearing on the NBC Nightly News broadcast. A White House national security official said U.S. forces will not be fighting side by side with forces inside Syria. He said they're intended to be a force multiplier, allowing for those on the front lines of the fight against Islamic State to better their efforts to take back territory. However, he said U.S. troops, quote, may have to engage the enemy. Four Israelis were stabbed in separate attacks Monday, including a 70-year-old man seriously wounded in the northern coastal city Netanya. His Palestinian assailant was shot dead. The attack came hours after another Palestinian killed several people, including an 80-year-old woman in Tel Aviv. 11 Israelis and 69 Palestinians have so far died in more than a month of violence. The UN says more than 218,000 migrants crossed the Mediterranean during the month of October, more than the total amount of migrants that crossed in all of last year. Adrian Edwards is with the UN Refugee Agency.
So it's an enormous number of people. It's producing enormous pressures on places where people are arriving. The Greek islands in particular, seeing particular strain. On the 20th of October, we had more than 10,000 people in a single day on these arriving on islands where there simply hasn't been the capacity to deal with those kind of figures. So a really overwhelming situation.
Edward says if conditions don't change, the level of arrivals in 2016 will continue. Eurogroup chairman Jorin Dijsselbloem warned Monday fallout from the migrant crisis could impact the budgets of some countries like Greece. Iraq's parliament voted to limit the powers of the country's prime minister in passing reforms, forcing him to seek approval by lawmakers for enacting new measures. The decision comes just months after lawmakers unanimously voted to approve his reform plan, aimed at reducing government spending and tackling corruption. The Democratic Republic of Congo Monday said more than 70 children adopted by foreign couples can now leave the country after being held up for 2 years. Congo's justice minister making the announcement after meeting ambassadors from several countries. The government moratorium on the adoption process followed allegations some children were abused, subjected to traffickers, or adopted by homosexual parents, banned under Congolese law. I'm Victor Beatty, VOA News.
That's the latest world news from VOA.